Question from Harish Krishnan. Ganesh worship and devotional service. In the Nectar of Devotion, Part 1, Chapter 8, Offenses to be Avoided, Srila Prabhupada writes, one should begin the worship of demigod Ganapati, who drives away all impediments in execution of devotional service. In the Brahma Sanhita, it is stated that Ganapati worships the lotus feet of Lord Nrisimhadev, and in that way he has become auspicious for the devotees in clearing out all impediments. Therefore, all devotees should worship Ganapati. End of quote. Lord Sri Krishna has of course discouraged us from engaging in worship of demigods in the Bhagavad Gita. I presume that the contradiction may be explained from the example of the gopis who engaged in the worship of Lord Shiva for purely devotional reasons. But I have also heard in one of your lectures where you had not agreed with the tendency of some ISKCON temples in North America having the deity of Lord Ganesh on the altar. Elsewhere, in a letter, Srila Prabhupada disagreed with the idea of Lord Ganesh worship, asking his disciple to pay him a hefty amount before they want to do that. How do I resolve these apparent contradictions? Is it an acceptable tendency to allow demigod worship in our temples?
The worship of Ganesh. When Srila Prabhupada was asked about this, although Rupa Goswami stated that one should worship Ganesh, Srila Prabhupada said that we worship the pure devotees. We have the acharyas' pictures on our altar, and we worship the pure devotees, who are implying that Ganesh is not a pure devotee, or Ganesh is involved in the material world, whereas the pure devotees are involved in the spiritual world. So we worship the acharya about whom Krishna says, Sarvadeva Maya Guru. The acharya is the embodiment. English is not a very good language, but we can translate it like this. Embodiment, Sarvadeva Maya. The acharya is Sarvadeva Mai, which we can translate as the acharya is the embodiment of all the demigods. So by worshipping the acharya, the benefits that one could get from different demigods for worshipping Krishna, one will get by worshipping the Guru. Of course, that story is there also about Ganesh himself. When he and his brother Kartikeya, they were going to have a race to see who can go around the universe quickest. It's a marathon race. When demigods do a marathon race, they don't just run 30 kilometers or something, around the universe. So Kartikeya was very confident of winning, because he was born for the very purpose of defeating all the demons. Whereas Ganesh is Lambodara. Oh, he's got a big belly. He doesn't appear to be very suited for athletic purposes. So anyway, Kartikeya set off, and in the meantime, Ganesh waddled over to Shiva and Parvati and circumambulated them and said, that's it, I circumambulated the universe, because they are non-different from the universe. So, like that, seeing the Guru, Shiva and Parvati as the Guru, Ganesh won the wager. Now another consideration is that pure devotees, they may not wish to pray to remove the obstacles in the path of devotional service. Kunti Devi famously prays,
vipada santu tashashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavata bhavata darshanam yatsyan apuna bhava darshanam.
That she prays, may there be many obstacles. Because if there are many obstacles, then we'll see you. We'll be more intense in our bhakti. And by seeing you, then we won't see birth and death again. So that's also a consideration. Srila Prabhupada asked for, when some devotees, namely Guru Kripa and Jashodanandan Swamis, they asked for permission to worship Ganesh because their service was to produce, to bring lots of money. By which, particularly the Krishna Balaram temple and the what's called the Gurukul building next to that were built. And also funds went to Bombay for building Radha Rasbihari temple and to Mayapur. So they were collected, they had a party, they were collecting lots of money. And they asked Srila Prabhupada for permission to worship Ganesh, to remove all obstacles in the path of collecting money. Srila Prabhupada wrote in a reply that if you send me at least $100,000 a month, then you can worship Ganesh. And in those days, $100,000 is more like $1 million now. So it was almost an impossible claim to them, an impossible demand. What Srila Prabhupada intended, I don't know. What? The way it's written, Prabhupada demanded a hefty sum. It makes Prabhupada sound somewhat materialistic, but of course Srila Prabhupada wasn't materialistic. Is it an acceptable tendency to allow demigod worship in our temples? Well, different people will answer that differently. You can give different citations from Shastra. I'm against it because I don't see that any of our acharyas have introduced this. The gopis, they worship Katyayani for the spiritual Katyayani, for attaining Krishna. But we hear from our Acharya Narottam Das that Anyo Deva Shrayanai Tomare Kohinu Bhai E Bhakti Paramakaran. That not worshipping demigods is the main cause of attaining devotional service, not going anywhere else for shelter. So Sharanagati means going to Krishna for shelter. If you go elsewhere for shelter, then that's destroys the spirit of pure bhakti. Well, we may say we worship different demigods so that they can bless us with Krishna consciousness, but the first point is, what's the need? When we go through our acharyas. Another point is that if we do that, well, we may say that, but people with the tendency to worship different demigods because they're materially attached to them, they're usually the ones who want to do that. So is it because they have a desire to worship the demigods, a lingering desire? So, no, better not to have demigod worship in our temples. Otherwise it'll end up like a khichdi, as so many Hindu temples are there. There's so many deities. We should keep focused on Krishna.